JC Corcoran Podcast.
Did you see, I guess it was 60 Minutes on Sunday, I think, did a piece on Chris Rock.
Yep.
And they talked, was it 60 Minutes?
Yep.
I couldn't remember that or Dateline.
Yep. Ed Bradley did it.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Did you see this, Lance, Chris Rock on 60 Minutes?
I did not.
You can't put a man in jail for that!
That was a funny routine. That was one of the funniest routines I've ever seen him do.
He's got great stuff.
It's a whole thing.
Just put it under trying to get laid.
Yeah.
It's just funny how it took him so long to really find his niche or be recognized, 14 years before he finally hit it.
Well, but you know what Ed Bradley referred to as three uneventful years on Saturday Night Live. I don't remember Chris Rock being nondescript on Saturday Night Live. That was a stupid thing to say.
They had some pretty good routines.
Yeah, they had his mother on everything. His father passed away. His mother was almost kind of like, I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
we bussed him to a white school. We did everything we could. I have no idea what happened.
Seemed like they used him on Saturday Night Live more later.
Yeah, well, everybody was like that.
Nat X, that was awesome.
Nat X.
Play that thing about the jelly roll.
We'll get to that.
I'm going
to
cause y'all foal.
Yeah. By the way, we were talking.
Nat King Cole.
That's I'm chilling, though.
That's right. That's the whole thing.
Yeah,
from,
that's right. That was
thing
I'm chilling.
From
Tonight, the top five reasons black guys don't play hockey. Reason number five, it's cold out there. Reason number four, scared to get their gold tooth knocked out. Reason number three, don't want to be around white guys with sticks. Reason number two, don't want to be around white guys with masks. And the number one reason black guys don't play hockey, don't feel the need to dominate yet another sport.
Chris Rock, I mean, I don't know how that qualifies as nondescript.
So we got a big election coming up. Who's gonna win? Bill or Bob? Bob or Bill? Does it really matter? Is there anything you can't do on Wednesday because your guy didn't win? A-Train ain't running. Don't won. No. Nothing you can't do. I like Clinton. You know why I like Clinton? Because he's got real problems. Now, he don't got president problems. He got real problems like you and me. Right, running out of money. His wife's a pain in the ass. All his friends are going to jail. You know, I know Bill Clinton. I am Bill Clinton.
That was a great routine. That whole monologue was good.
And then they showed him briefly on Politically Incorrect with Bill Maher when they sent him to San Diego for the Republican.
Oh, my God. Those are hilarious. I remember seeing those.
The Senate to the Republican National Convention. I think that's what this is from. Hold on.
What about his speech? What do you think of Dole's speech?
Well, you know, at one point he said there used to be a time when he could remember when he was a kid, they didn't have to lock doors. Of course, when he was a kid, they lived in caves.
Does he go around and do stand? Is he still? I can't remember the last time he came in.
He was here. We had him on the air. We had him on the air live on the phone. But he was. I don't think he was real awake that morning because he was a little nondescript that morning. But he's a very nice guy. Hold on a second here.
I mean, I understand with some sexual harassment. I understand a little bit. I mean, some guys go too far. I mean, women. If a man is your boss and says, "Hey, sleep with me or you're fired," that's sexual harassment. And that's the only thing that's sexual harassment. Everything else falls under just trying to get laid. You can't put a man in jail for that. I don't care how hard he tries, that's all he was trying to do. Anita Hill started this whole thing. That's the whole thing. Because it's all about looks. It's all about looks, you know? Because if Clarence Thomas looked like Denzel Washington, this would have never happened. Never happened. I was like, stop it, Clarence. You nasty. Your fine self. So what sexual harassment? When an ugly man wants some? Oh, he ugly. Call the police. Call the authority.
Now, here's part of the thing they played back on 60 Minutes.
You ready? It's time to bring the pain. Give up the love for Mr. Chris Rock.
So now this is in Washington.
That's our new station announcer.
Yeah. This is in Washington, D.C., where he does this concert. This is part of what they showed on 60 Minutes on Sunday night. His concert, Chris's concert in Washington.
Washington! They say Chocolate City. That's right. Home of the Million Man March. The Million Man March. Said had all the positive black leaders there. Farrakhan, Jesse, Marion Barry, Marion Barry. At the Million Man March. How'd he get a ticket? It was a damn positive ticket. How'd he get it, man? You know what that means? That means that even in our finest hour, we had a crackhead on stage. Yeah, fool if you want. You know I'm right. How the hell Marion Barry get his job back? Smoke crack got his job back. How the hell that happened? I mean, if you get caught smoking crack at McDonald's, you can't get your job back. That's right. They're not going to trust you around the Happy Meals. They'll send your ass to Hardee's. Smoke crack got his job. All I want to know, who was so bad? Who ran against him that they lost? Who was so bad they lost to a crackhead? What was their campaign like? What was they on heroin?
Tapping on his arm.
A crack, vote for smack. Man, now, come on, man. How are they going to tell little kids to not get high when the mayor's on crack? Don't get high, it won't be nothing. I could be mayor.
And sitting by my side is my main man, my ace in a hole, my New Jersey toe, my Esther Roll, my 10-foot pole, my Billy Joel, my Nat King Cole, my Dead Sea Scroll, my Dr. Show, my Helmet Cole, my Grassy Knoll, my Kid Creole, my Lakaja Foe.
Yeah, standing ovation for Chris Rock.
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over.
Tuesday, March 29th, 2022, 233 days remaining in our democratic political system as we have known it. How you doing? You're at jcontheline.com. Then again, you already know that. Otherwise, you wouldn't have found me, and that's the end of that story. I would like to talk about other things today other than just the, you know, Hollywood thing with Chris Rock, but I don't think that's going to happen. Because, by the way, can I just say something that when you were talking about social media, the most obnoxious, antisocial, psychotic, passive-aggressive, rude, dismissive, know-it-all thing that you can write in the comment section is who cares. When you write who cares, I had a couple of guys do that. I have a couple of guys who seem to do that with everything, especially when it comes to matters involving sports, politics, entertainment, all the things we talk about all the time. And there's always some antisocial guy out there, and it's always a guy. It's never a woman, by the way. Congratulations, ladies. It's always some guy who's like, who cares? Now, with regard to the Will Smith, Chris Rock thing, who cares? Well, considering it's the lead story still on all of the news stations, the 24-hour cable stations, the network news, everything, all of a sudden, you know, Ukraine got pushed to the back of the bus because all anybody he is talking about is Will Smith and Chris Rock. So that's who fucking cares, okay? That's who cares. Everybody but you. Now, should it be that way? Of course not. I agree with you on that point. But I sort of have prided myself for the last nearly four decades in this town on sort of having my thumb on the pulse of what's going on. That's my whole thing, talking about stuff that you guys are talking about and knowing what those things are. And maybe even more importantly, knowing what things are not important to be talking about, because I hear that on the radio all the time. And you know what I think to myself? Who cares? But I think that to myself, which is a big difference between that and going on somebody's comments page and just putting that completely passive-aggressive thing up there. It's so obnoxious. By the way, that thing you heard in the open is one of my favorite bits. I've had it in the archives forever, and it's been years since I played it, but that was me, and I think, was Jamie Allman in on that? He may not have been there that day, but that was John Canavera, who was our producer at the time, Lance Hildebrand, our dear friend, who did traffic for us for years and years and years. Karen Kelly was part of the whole thing there, and boy, that's just one of my favorite things. We are just a little bit over 1 week away from JC's home opener extravaganza, which will be heard next Thursday, 7th of April, here at jcontheline.com. Mentioned that yesterday. People reacted immediately. And I don't know. I you know my feelings about this Albert Pujols thing. I'm not in favor of it. Although I was looking at the stats yesterday, even though I watched Albert a lot in Los Angeles when he was playing there last year, and I was watching all this, and I thought he looked terrible at the plate a couple of times. He had some home runs and everything, but he also looked really bad a couple of times. And that's going to be true of any player, but you know, Albert's under so much scrutiny, and you're saying, okay, well, you're bringing him back to be the DH and the pinch hitter. Well, it turns out he's hitting over 400, or last year at least, he was hitting over 400 against left-handed pitchers. That's pretty good. But I still think it's this distraction, perhaps, that the Cardinals are putting together here. We haven't spent any money for anybody really good, no big free agents or anything like that. But if we bring back Albert, that'll be a distraction, and even if we're 10 games out of first place, people will still be... So who knows? But I'll tell you this. I'm very, very surprised by the reaction of people in St. Louis. I'm very, very surprised, because normally when you do what he did, you're persona non grata. And let's remember what Albert Pujols did. Albert Pujols had a perfectly fine contract offer from the St. Louis Cardinals 10 years ago, and he turned it down. And he kept saying it's not about the money, but it's hard to accept that explanation when it turned out that it was about the money. It clearly was about the money. And usually when you do something like that, the people in the Midwest, people in St. Louis across the region are like, okay, well, you can go fuck yourself for the rest of your life. And instead, Albert comes back and, you know, after this 10-year thing, and everybody's like, oh, yeah, come on. Oh, this is great. I'm surprised. But, you know, the video, I put it on my Facebook page, the Showgram with J.C. Corcoran. He came around, you know, around from the right field foul pole at Roger Dean Stadium yesterday and walked the length of the foul line all the way down to the dugout and got like a standing ovation not only from the crowd but also from the players in the dugout. So, you know, maybe I don't know what I'm talking about here, but it's only $2.5 million, so what the hell? Boy, you think you know something. You think you know something. How many times have you used the term olive oil? And I'm not talking about Popeye's girlfriend either. And there was something wrong with that chick, too. It's not like Popeye was Brad Pitt or anything, but he should have been able to do a little better than olive oil. Back in my youth, when I didn't know any better, I used to think that flat-chested girls were unattractive. And then you end up with a relatively, you know, flat-chested girl, and you find out how incredibly sensitive those little mosquito bites are. And then you're like, oh, this is like a whole nother thing here. Anyhow, olive oil, it turns out, is actually juice. Technically, fruit juice. Because olives, and I didn't know this, are considered a fruit. And if you say, well, JC, what did you think they were? My answer is, I didn't have the slightest idea because I never even thought about it before. I just eat things I like. I don't sit there categorizing them into food groups. But still, you know, awakening this morning and finding this story that olive oil is juice and that olives are a fruit was somewhat jarring. No pun intended. Hey, you know who's cute? This Julia Avery on Channel 4. I know I'm late to the party on this because I've heard people talking about her and saying, which is what guys do. They sit around, they go, because we can't think of anything else to say. So we just start making animal noises. Very, very attractive. A good reporter, too. And she is going to do a story about all these scandals regarding COVID grant money. Remember that about a year or so ago when the government said, all right, we have a big pot of money here, and we know that there are businesses, all these little mom and pops, especially small businesses, the small business, the backbone of the American economy. We don't want to turn our backs on you fine people across the fruited plains. Therefore, here's the big pot of money. You put in your application, and we're going to give you some money so that, you know, little places, mom and pop taverns and restaurants and stuff like that all over the country are going to remain in business and be relieved of their financial woes. And you knew right there and then that that was not going to happen and that somehow fraud was going to take over and that people who didn't need the money were not only going to get it, but we're going to get millions of dollars. You know, there might have been a little place in the Grove or in South St. Louis or something like that that's like, geez, you know, if we could just get our hands on about 40 grand, we could stay afloat. And instead, millionaires were being handed millions of dollars more so they could build mansions and buy cars and do everything that the fund was not intended to do. But it's so rare in this country anymore that people suffer any consequences. Look at this thing. This Alex Jones, this crackpot down in Texas, has now missed two deposition schedules. You don't show up for a deposition, you know, the court can issue a warrant for your arrest. Are they doing that? Apparently no. You know, we just find out that on Thursday, Jared Kushner is going to have to testify in front of the January 6th committee. You know what they're trying to do? They're trying to get to Ivanka, because Ivanka was right there while all this stuff was going on the 6th, and urging her father, by the way, to you know, to pull back on this whole thing, and he wouldn't even listen to her on that day. And you got a judge yesterday who says, yeah, we're pretty sure we've got criminal stuff on Donald Trump. What do you think the chances are that this is ever going to catch up with any of them? First of all, the Republican Party has been packing state legislatures with their own guys, with Trump sympathizers, and especially those Secretary of State positions. Those secretary, and we always say here, we only talk about politics when it's absolutely unavoidable, but there were major developments yesterday. I'm not doing my job if I don't acknowledge this. But the judge comes along and says, yeah, we're like 90% sure we've got Donald Trump on conspiracy charges, stuff like that. What do you think the chances are that any of this is going to play out? Because what it seems to me like what's happening here is they're trying to run out the clock. They figure if we can just make it to, well, is it what I say, 233 more days to the midterm elections, we will now have a lot of people in place that were not in place during the last presidential election. People of integrity who would say, no, we can't find you 11,000 votes. That's not how it works. I'm sorry, Don. And now you have all new people in so many of those positions in states, again, from coast to coast, who might not make that same determination and might be able to find the 11,000 votes next time. Sometimes people think I'm doing this for show or for exaggeration, for the purpose of emphasis or something like that. I'm not. I really do think we are in serious trouble in 233 days when those midterms come up, and suddenly people don't even know if their vote is going to count. We don't know what's going to happen. Well, here's some of it right now. Hold on.
January 6th. Now, internal White House records show a lack of any calls placed to or by the former president from 11:17 a.m. to 6:54 p.m. Now, you remember, this is the time that people forcibly entered the Capitol. The gap in the official White House records turned over to investigators stands in stark contrast to extensive public reporting about phone conversations that President Trump had with allies during the attack. Now, a White House panel is now investigating whether the former president communicated through back channels such as burner phones.
or somebody else's phone or something like that. You know, Trump was not stupid. The problem is that he wasn't as smart as he thought he was. All right, how about a good sex story before we go back into this Will Smith, Chris Rock thing? Because I actually have some really good stuff to play for you here. The sex experts at Adam and Eve recently conducted a survey on the lighting during adult playtime, and they compared the results to a similar survey they did about 10 years ago. Today, 11% of people like to mess around with the lights on, compared to 10% back in 2011. So basically no change. And today, 28% want the lights off, compared to 41% back in 2011. A bigger percentage like to mix it up. Today, 32% say they like to alternate the lighting versus 48% in 2011. And perhaps the most interesting of all, today, 29% of people have no preference, compared to just 1% in 2011, which means that 62% of people are not bothering to reach for the light switch before they get it on, compared to 59% in 2011. You'd think it would be just the opposite because all of the COVID weight that everybody put on, it's like, yeah, we can do it and everything, but kill the lights, okay? You're not going to like what you see here. Oh, here's Julia Avery. Here we go.
Go to North City. But members of the board are having a hard time agreeing on how to give that money to North City. It is the Board of Estimates and Apportionment that makes these decisions, which includes the city mayor, Deshaun Jones, Alderman President Lewis Reed, and the city comptroller.
Well, good luck with that. And good luck. Where do they start trying to actually distribute money from the Rams lawsuit? Oh, man. Can you even imagine? And like I've been saying all along here, I think they should just take the whole wad, the entire stash of Stan Kroenke money, hire a couple of respected consultants. I'm talking about respected people, not these charlatans they bring in all the time. Get some really, really smart people in and take all the money and address the crime problem in the city of St. Louis and in St. Louis County, for that matter, too. But see if you can knock down the crime. Can't eliminate it. You know, we understand that people don't understand the concept of mitigation. I put a mask on and I still got sick. See, therefore, masks don't work. Nobody ever said that if you wear a mask, it was going to keep you from getting COVID. It was going to reduce your chances of getting COVID. I got a shot and I still got sick. Therefore, shots don't work. That kind of idiot logic. All right. You knew that the late night television talk show comedians were going to have a field day with the Chris Rock, Will Smith thing. Let me get out of the way here for a couple of minutes. First, Stephen Colbert, then Jimmy Kimmel. Here we go.
It is Monday, unless you're Chris Rock, because I'm pretty sure he got slapped into next week. Now, thank you. That's really early. That's really early in the monologue for a rim shot. Thank you. That is the worst thing Will Smith has ever done. Wait, I forgot about Wild Wild West. He's not. Chris just shakes it off with one step. Will Smith trained for months to play Muhammad Ali. I have met Will Smith. Okay, I have spoken to the man right over there. He's got a hand like a flank steak. If Will wanted to hit somebody, he should have picked on somebody more appropriate, like Jason Momoa or Liza Minnelli. At this point, she's clearly unkillable. She's going to live forever. Chris is not pressing any charges, okay? But of course, this is Hollywood, and there are rules. You can't just storm a stage, physically assault someone on camera, and then go back to your seat. There have to be consequences, like winning the Oscar for Best Actor and receiving a standing ovation, then partying all night. Who says Hollywood sends a bad message to our kids? You see that, Johnny? You see that? You solve your problems with violence and everyone will love you and give you golden statues. Now off to the after party, mister. You've got a lot of your own music to dance to. No, you get jiggy with it, mister. Go get jiggy. Go.
Even Kanye was like, you went on stage and did what at an award show? And the weirdest part was that initially Will Smith laughed at that joke.
You can't wait to see it, all right?
But then he must have looked over and noticed that Jada was not amused. He's like, uh-oh, I better do something. And boy, did he do something. I mean, in one stunning moment, the night went from Oscars so what to Oscars so what? No one could have predicted the most controversial movie of 2022 would be G.I. Jane, but it was. This was the Hollywood version of your drunk uncle starting a fight, ruining the wedding, and then standing up and giving a long toast to the bride and groom. I was watching, like most people at home, and I said to my wife, well, they did a really good job with that punch. It looks so real. And she's like, yeah, they did. About 3 seconds later, we realized it was because it was real, which is a shame because we'd already written about a page and a half of cleavage jokes, and those won't be used. But Chris Rock, he handled it about as well as you could possibly handle being slapped on stage at the Oscars. He didn't even flinch when Will slapped him. I would have been crying so hard. After the slap, Will cursed him out. Chris said, oh, wow, Will Smith just smacked the S out of me. And Will yelled from the seat, keep my wife's name out of your effing mouth. Chris said something like, oh, well, that was the greatest moment in the history of television. And then went right into introducing Best Documentary, as if he hadn't just been slapped by the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. By the way, no one did anything. A whole room full of people, no one lifted a finger. Spider-Man was there. Aquaman was there. Catwoman, all sitting on their hands. No one helped Chris Rock. The backstory we know, anyway, is when Chris Rock hosted the Oscars in 2016, this is the Oscars so white year. Will Smith wasn't nominated, so his wife, Jada, decided to boycott the show. And Chris Rock, who was hosting the show, made some jokes about it. He said Jada boycotting the Oscars is like him boycotting Rihanna's panties, which I'm sure she didn't like. And then this joke, G.I. Jane, which seemed pretty mild, but what I assume Chris Rock didn't know is that the reason Jada has a shaved head is because she has a medical condition called alopecia that causes people to lose their hair, and she probably thought he was making fun of that. And so Will felt he had to defend his wife. And now I'm a little bummed because I've only now hosted the second craziest Oscars of all time.
You know, it wasn't until about, I want to say, 8 months ago that I started really paying attention to Jimmy Kimmel's monologue. I don't know why. I guess I had watched it a couple of times, and it didn't make me laugh, so I just sort of blew it off. And then I was having lunch with Eric Mink last summer, and he sort of admonished me about the whole Jimmy Kimmel thing. He goes, no, because I'm, you know, such a Colbert fan. He's like, no, Jimmy Kimmel's doing much better. Now, I don't think he's doing better than Colbert. I still think Colbert is the gold standard right now. But Kimmel's stuff is really, really funny. He's doing a great job. Oh, by the way, Howard Stern said yesterday that he thinks Will Smith has severe psychological problems. Only 61% of Americans still think Will Smith was wrong with what he did. 21% think he was right. And comedians, obviously, because his self-preservation involved here, are overwhelmingly on Team Rock. And then there's Tiffany Haddish. And Tiffany Haddish, by the way, is another one of those comedians who's out there telling jokes, and you get one joke about every 10 minutes. The rest of the time, it's all form. It's style over substance. There's no fucking jokes. It's just a lot of this, what you say, girl? And all that kind of crap. And where's the jokes? And here's her quote. When they asked her what Will Smith did, she said it was, and this is a quote, the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. End quote. And by the way, she was serious. Nick Lachey confronted a photographer Sunday night, swore at her, tried to take her camera. He later apologized, saying he clearly overreacted. If I'm Nick Lachey, I'm thinking to myself, you want to take my picture? Oh, okay, great. Because nobody's wanted to do that for about 20 years now. And normally, it's the after parties. I think the Vanity Fair one costs $80,000 per ticket to get in. It's a fundraiser. It's charity. It's deductible. But still, $80,000 is $80,000 you want to get into the Vanity Fair party. And you come sliding in there, and it's like, hey, dig me. And all the cameras are rolling. And, you know, there's always these stories for 2 or 3 days after the Oscars, you know, talking about dresses and, you know, who outdid who wore it best and all that kind of crap. Jason Momoa has put all rumors about his marriage to Lisa Bonet to rest. Here's the quote. We're not getting back together. End quote. Then later at the Oscars after party, he was seen putting his arm around Kate Beckinsale. He even gave her jacket to stay warm. watch this space. All right, late night tonight, Jared Leto. I'm with Jimmy Fallon. Kimmel's got Donald Glover and Machine Gun Kelly. Sandra Bullock, I'm with Stephen Colbert. Trevor Noah pops up with James Corden. And Seth Meyers is a rerun, but it's the one with David Letterman and also Adam Duritz with The Counting Crows. And that's a really good show. You could see this coming. The NFL might launch their own paid streaming service. I told you this 10 years ago. I said, somewhere in the very near future, you're going to have to start paying money to watch NFL games. I'm not saying that's exactly what's going to happen here, but I think it's leading that way. Christine McVie, Fleetwood Mac, she has a new solo album on the way. I'm always happy to hear stuff like that. All right, birthdays today. Two women that I have encountered. One is Jill Goodacre, the former supermodel who married Harry Connick Jr. I was in an elevator with her, and I remember thinking to myself, that is a really plain-looking girl. And this, by the way, was probably 25 years ago, so she was probably in her 30s. And without all the hair and without all the makeup, and she was just coming down the elevator to, you know, grab a yogurt or something, you know, you look at these girls and you think to yourself, it's the hair and it's the makeup. I guess you still have to have the big eyes and the high cheekbones and everything like that. And then former Australian supermodel who bumped right into me at a little newsstand at LaGuardia years and years and years ago and then gave me a dirty look. She was doing one of those things where she was looking over her shoulder but still walking forward, and she just slammed right into me and then looked at me like, who the fuck are you? And I'm looking at her like, hey, baby, I know who you are and everything, but this one's on you. Anyhow, she's 58 today. Brendan Gleeson, who most people remember for the Harry Potter stuff, but if you want to see an unbelievable performance by him and also Colin Farrell, and then I don't want to give away because there's a surprise star in this movie, but the movie is called In Bruges. In Bruges. You know, when you start being asked questions about your favorite movies of all time, that's definitely in the top 20. Definitely in the top 20. Brendan Gleeson, 67 today. Eric Idle from Monty Python, 79. John Popper, Blues Traveler, 55. Lucy Lawless, 54. And crackpot Laura Logan, who was a great reporter on CBS and then on 60 Minutes, survived a sexual assault during the 2011 protests in Egypt. They basically assaulted her and tore all her clothes off. Now she's gone to the dark side. She is saying loony QAnon type stuff, and you wonder what has to happen to somebody before they go that route. I don't understand. I'm sorry. And finally, the airlines want to drop COVID precautions on flights. They want to make sure passengers are as comfortable as possible when they verbally abuse flight attendants. And with that, we say that's it. J.C. Corcoran podcast for Tuesday, March 29th, 2022 is in the can. 233 days remaining in our American democratic system as we have known it. You know the drill. We're here at about 7 o'clock every Monday through Friday, absolutely free. If you miss a podcast, don't worry. Everything is archived. You may email me at jc@jconline.com, Facebook, The Showgram with J.C. Corcoran. I'm not playing with you. I promise. I promise. I promise. I promise. I'm not playing with you. I will have a fairly significant announcement coming up here, but I can't do it yet. There's a couple of T's that need to be crossed and a couple of I's that need to be dotted, and then I'll be able to tell you about it. But very, very soon, we're going to have some news that I think you'll like. Let's just leave it at that. In the meantime, beat this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.